We're very thankful this evening to be on the call again. We thank God for blessing us all to be able to come back this afternoon after a great study on this morning, a wonderful response, as we're studying the book of Philippians. If you're on the call today and not a member of the Church of Christ, we pray you will become a member of the Church of Christ by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and the Lord adds you to the only church you read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And now, this afternoon, we're continuing our study of the book of Philippians. And we're so thankful for this great letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians in Philippi. This afternoon, sermon with the entitled, "This Shall Turn to My Salvation." This morning, we looked at Paul as the writer, the Apostle Paul, as he was guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote this book from a prison cell in Rome. And we learned of his bonds, and that he was in shackles and in a dungeon writing this great letter. He often used the word joy and rejoice, which I talked about on this morning, that common delight that you can, no matter what you're going through, because you are a child of God, you can have joy in your heart. Yes, you may cry on the outside. Yes, you may go through some things. But because you know God is there for you, you know you can make it through whatever you're dealing with. And obviously this morning, the lesson reached many souls. It touched the hearts of those who are going through a very difficult time. If we ever needed a time when we need to be encouraged, the time is now with everything we're seeing and experiencing in the world today. This afternoon, I hope to encourage you to focus on your salvation and knowing that what you're going through in the end, what's the most important thing you must know is that your soul is saved. Let's pick up in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Apostle Paul said, "I know that this shall turn to my salvation." That's mine. Sermon title right there. Paul said, "I know. Being in this dungeon, being in this prison, is for my salvation." This is personal. As you look at your life, all things work together to good means that your salvation is something you got to take personal. No matter what prison you're in, what bonds you're going through, what difficulties you may be going through in your life, understand is to your salvation. Back in verse 12, Paul warned the Philippian church congregation to understand that what had happened to him had helped spread the gospel. Even though some were preaching with wrong motive, Christ would preach, he said. Now Paul says, "This I know, that this would turn out for my salvation or my deliverance." And he said, "With your prayers and the Spirit." Boy, there's power in prayer, my brothers and sisters. Understanding when people are praying for you, request the prayers of the church. As we heard on this morning, men came back thanking the church for prayer, but God responded to the prayers. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And Paul said the church is praying for it. He said, through your prayers and the work of the Spirit, this is all in. This is going to be to my salvation. Yes, I got shackled. Yes, I'm in a dungeon. Yes, it's dark. Yes, I'm alone. Yes, it's me. But Paul said, because you're praying for me, and the Holy Spirit is here. And maybe this afternoon, you're in the prison cell of depression, as we were talking about this morning, spiritual, physical, or mental situations. Having a relationship with God can calm everything down because you know that everything going to be all right. I know my Savior lives. We sing songs like that, and we know that everything's going to be all right because we are children of God. We can know that we have a family of God, that when things are going on in our lives, brothers and sisters, we can reach out to the church, our family, the Church of Christ in Hollow Heights, and with the prayer and the Holy Spirit being involved, if you're in your prison cell of marital problems, of financial problems, of physical sicknesses, of trials and tribulations. As we talked about on this morning, with the conditions of life, I don't know what your situation is, but there are many on the call, no doubt all of you are in some situation that you know only God can get you through it. In general, we all in the situation of the pandemic. We're all facing with the possibility of getting COVID. We take our vaccine, we wear our mask, and then the whole family gets it. And so we all in these situations, conditions like this. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what next funeral we're going to. We don't know who's going to be on the ventilator next. We don't know who's going to be in the hospital. But what we do know, everything's going to be all right. Because this is to my salvation. That's why we understand that when we go to funerals, it's to our salvation, because it's the house of mourning. And the living lays at your heart, brothers and sisters, that we can see that no matter what pain you're going through, it's to your salvation. It's to the purpose for God sending us pain is to deliver us from this world of sin and to bring us closer to Him. Then, after we went through this life, our rest will be in heaven. Because the Hollow Heights family is praying, the Holy Spirit will supply your needs. According to Bible, Romans 8, verse 8 through 11. In verse 18, Paul says, Philippians 1:18, says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation. This is where he is, through taking it personal, through your prayer, supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that is nothing, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Notice this now, whether it be by life, what about that? So, Paul, what are you saying? Paul is basically saying, my expectation is hope, and hope is positive. Why is it positive? Because it doesn't matter if I'm living or dying. I have a relationship with God. Because I have a relationship with God, I have this earnest expectation that there's going to be hope. No matter what I go through, I have hope. And when I'm going through pain, if I'm going through difficulty, and I come out and God has delivered me as a father, God has delivered me as a mother, to my children. We went through this, and my children see hope because they saw the deliverance by God. What are you putting your expectations on? Our expectation must be that God will bring us through. And no matter what we're going through, that God, Christ can be magnified and glorified in our body, whether we live or live or die. Paul understood, because he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. Listen to this man. Understanding about his salvation. It was all about his soul. He said, when I live to save my soul, because what I live, for me to live is by Christ. For me to die is gain and go be with Christ. So in this life, I'm living to save my soul and to magnify God, to magnify Christ, so that in the end, the gain upon my death, as long as we're living, he was committed to preaching Christ. As long as he was living for Christ. As long as he was preaching for Christ. Why? It was for his salvation. That's what you should lead the call. Nothing else resonates after this lesson is that everything I'm doing as a child of God is to my salvation. That's very personal. That's why Paul said, save yourself. Peter said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Paul was committed to the cause of Christ. Christ was his everything. Christ was his life. All of us as children of God should have that level of commitment. Why? It's to your salvation. It is a personal commitment that will turn to your salvation. When Christ is your doctor on your sick bed, it's for your salvation. When you're going through a need for God to bring you through tribulations and trials and whatever it is you're going through at this time, it's for your salvation. Why is it for your salvation? Because you grow closer to God. The closer you grow to God, the more pain in your life. You grow closer and closer to God. Everything is to your salvation. When you know Christ is your Redeemer, when you know He's your Deliverer, He's your solid rock. And like we sing in the song, Christ the solid rock we stand, knowing all of the ground is sick of sin. You understand that because everything that you're going through is turned to your salvation. Do you feel saved this afternoon? We know as children of God, we have to understand this. It's in Christ that we live. It's in Christ that we move. It's in Christ that we have our very being, Acts 17, verse 28. And without him, we can do nothing, John 15, and verse 5. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. The gain is all about salvation. Living was about salvation. But you can't enjoy that salvation. You can't do it unless you die. You can enjoy the salvation and the salvation, the freedom from the things that we're going through in this life. Paul saw death as a benefit. Man, how many of you see death as a gain, death as a benefit? Well, you can only see death as a gain and benefit because you can see when you can see the reward of salvation. I mean, we're not Christian because we just want to do it this way. We know in the end there's a gain after death, and we believe that there's something after death. Do you believe that? Paul was much like David. He understood what David meant when he said in Psalm 116 and verse 15. He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The world doesn't see death as precious. Only those who are saved, who understand salvation, can understand that death is precious. That's what the Apostle Paul can understand. That's what David understood. Paul understood what John meant when he said in Revelation 14, what the Bible said in Revelation 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yes, said the spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow me. Why would he say, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord? It's about salvation. That's what you want, and you want to die in the Lord. To die in the Lord is to die in Christ. To die in Christ is to die in his body. To die in his body is to die in his church. For the body is the church. If you're outside of the body, you're outside of the church. You don't want to die outside of the church because there's no salvation outside of the church. You don't want to leave the church of Christ. There's no salvation in it. You want to be close to it. You got to be like Paul. Paul understood it. I'm in the prison. I'm down here. I'm going through a hard time. But in the end, my labors will be over. My works will follow. Paul understood what Jesus meant when he said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. He told his apostles, upon his departure, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus saw the benefit of death. The benefit of death was salvation. The benefit of death was the mansion, the robe, the crown, the songs we sing. I would trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. Join him in that land where tears nor sorrows can be found. When I receive my mansion, robe, and crown. Do you see? Can you see the benefit of death? Can we be like Paul was in the last days of his life when he wrote the letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, as it referred to? It was a worthy goal. It's a worthy goal for us. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the fight. Faith. When you fight, you don't always win. You know, sometimes you fight against the devil, you may fall, but God gave you the ability to get up and fight. And maybe what you're going through now, you need to fight. Don't give up, because your fight is about your salvation. Your fight is not the winning, the argument, or winning something else. It's about the saving of a soul. This thing has turned your salvation. Paul said, I'm finished. Can't enjoy salvation till you finish. I kept the faith. I never left the truth. I never gave up on God. I kept coming back. I stuck to what he said. I obeyed what he said. When I made a mistake, I obeyed it. Paul said, then henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. There it is. It's waiting on salvation. It's waiting on us to receive our just reward. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, Paul. See how personal it is? Paul said, he's going to give it to me by myself that day. Nobody going to be standing there with you. It's going to be you and God. This thing got to turn to yourself. Hey, what are you going through? I know you said, brother, I'm tired of funerals. I'm tired of the sickness. I'm tired of hospitals. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired. I know you're tired, but you're on the call this evening. So why are you on this call? The reason you're on the call is because you know God has an answer. And through the letter, Paul is telling him, you know I'm in this dungeon. You know it's wet and cold, no lights and feces and cereal. I'm shackled down. So why can I say rejoice in the Lord always? Paul said, because these shackles, this pain, will turn to my salvation. How high our goal must be able. We must be focused on salvation. I know that life can be tough. But remember this. Life will be tough with God. And life will be tough without God. Because life is designed to present us trials and tribulations. But in our minds, in our hearts of hearts, we know we have joy. And that joy is that common delight. Yeah, I know. I can feel it. Paul, like Paul said, I was thrown in the flesh, sticking me, poking me. But in the end, it's to my salvation. Back to Philippians, he said in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, Christ. What I shall choose, I would not, I know not. And this, the last verse, he said, to die again. Now he says, but if I live, it means if God is not time for me to die and get that gain, Christ will be the fruit of my labor. Yet, I know not which to choose. Listen to him now. What is he saying? I don't know what to choose. Paul says here in verse 23, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. Having desire to depart, using an analogy of departure, like he did when told Timothy, I'm talking about departures. It's like, take up the anchor and sail to in the end of his life. I have a desire for this to all be over. Not that I just want to take my life. That's not what he's talking about. He wanted to enjoy the salvation. He wanted to realize the salvation. And he knew this life, being in this life, you can't get it yet. In this life, it would be far better, Paul was saying, if I could die and just go and be with the Lord. Nevertheless, though, when you start doing the will of God, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, I'm still alive because God wanted him to minister to these Christians. Paul was unselfish and concerned about Philippian Christians as well. The care of the church weighed heavily on the apostles. We never want to see anyone lost. And Paul knew these letters that he was writing were blessing them. He said this in verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Having this confidence, Paul was confident that Stan, and the reason he was alive, was to bless others. Do you think about your life while you're abiding here is to help someone else to enjoy, to take further and enjoy faith in that individual? Paul was convinced, he was confident that the reason he was there was to bless someone else. We know that being here while we living, and we can share the good news with others, we can live before them, we can give them a chance to lay hold on eternal life. And that's what Paul knew his purpose was. He said, all of your, continue with you all for your furthering of progress of the joy of faith. And that's what I'm hoping to do to the book of Philippians for you, is that for you progress to you to, you know, I'll say you're complaining, maybe a good word, that you, rather than complain about your condition, rather than complain about the situation, rather than ask why me, why now, why I'm going through all this, rather than do that, and say, you know, there's a reason. This is the Lord's will for my life, such as we referred to Job again this evening. Job said, this thing has come upon me. My grief is great. But God is my witness. God is my record. Naked I came. Naked I'm going to return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He still had that calm delight within him. That it was in control in God's hand. His outward appearance and everything was going on. And maybe that's you. Maybe you just got to have progression and move toward this calm delight of knowing that I am God's child and I believe God will bring me through. And my purpose of going through, as I got a text from someone this morning saying that they're going through the able now to comfort others. And that's the whole purpose of this thing. You know, even Brother Brooks, as I teach to you, it's calming me, it's helping me. We all going through it. Nobody's exempt. But who's progressing? Who on the call can say, you know what, yeah, I'm one of those that did a lot of complaining, but I want to move in this other category now, that I have a furtherance, a progress of experiencing the joy of being a child of God without the exterior pains and outer pains that circle my soul, that deep within me, even though I may have the pains of life, I have a calm delight, a joy. When others see me, how is it that you can go through all you're going through and still have this mind to say things such as, the Lord, give it to the Lord, take it away. How is it that you say, and I just keep looking to God? How is it that you can say, I don't know how or why, but I do know who? And you leave God in control, and you're experiencing, you're progressing in your joy of faith, a belief system that says, it's not about this life. This belief system is about us living a life that magnifies Christ and ensures our salvation. In verse 27, Paul said, only let your conversation, that word conversation means conduct or talk, a manner of life. This is verse 27. Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. Listen to him. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul turns now and says, whether I get to come to you or not, I'm caught in between being here and going to get my just reward to be with God. It's God's decision. But here's how he gave them this advice. Whether I see you or not, here's what you do. Make sure your conversation, your talk, your conduct You conduct yourselves as worthy of the gospel. We should live a life filled with good news that others can see the blessings we enjoy as Christians. Being there as a family, being there with one another. See yourself worthy of the gospel, the good news. Standing fast, meaning to nail it down. Nail is called a fastener. Stand fast in the one spirit. Never leave what the Bible says. Stay with what the scripture, what the Spirit has revealed in the Bible. Don't add to it or take from it. Don't let no one take you away from you. Hold to that. Whether I come or not, Paul said, don't leave. Stand fast in one mind. Stay on one accord. Let that the word of God penetrate your mind. And he says, strive together for the faith, working together for everybody to maintain, to defend the faith of the gospel. Nobody can add to it or come to it, take away from it. We should not ever take away from the preaching of the gospel. Everything that we do should be support of the preaching of the gospel. Stand together, give together, live together, share together. Everything is for the faith of the gospel. That's why when members of the church are cheerful givers, giving should be focused on the faith of the gospel because we strive together. There's power in faith. And we believe that God will deliver us no matter what we're going through. And so here we are. We live a life filled with a hope and with blessings that we can live a life. Enjoy our life as Christians from within. We can say like Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In verse number 28, nothing terrified, he said. Philippians 1:28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, that means enemies, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. Now, this evident token is a clear sign of their destruction or their damnation. But to you, he went back to that same word again, but to you of salvation, and that is of God, your enemies. So let no one terrify you to the point that they used to hate the enemy. Let anyone terrify you to the point that you lead a faith. That you stop loving those who hate you. When we stand, Paul said, don't let your enemy terrify you anyway. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in one mind and one spirit. And when we live as it becometh the gospel, it sends evidence or a message to the enemy of Satan that we should not be moved. And if we keep the unity of the spirit and do God as God has commanded, we have no reason for losing our salvation. This is why it's important that the truth is taught, that we be obedient to the truth, and we uphold the truth and never deviate from the truth. And in closing, verse number 29, Paul says, for unto you it is given. As a person again, every person is given. God gives us this in the behalf of Christ. But not only to believe on him, but also what? To suffer for his sake. See, he see himself. He know he suffered in this prison. But he said, you all, that's what God handed you. Do you understand that when things happen in our lives, that God has a permissive will to allow it? This pandemic. Man could have started, yes, through his allowance, that God allowed it. You believe God allowed it? I do. Could have stopped it. He didn't. Now we suffer. But why? Why, God, why we have to suffer? Whatever happens in lifetime, I'm doing it to turn it to your salvation. It is given to us on the behalf of Christ, who also suffered. And we suffer now for his sake. having the same conflict. Yes, we will suffer from the bonds of this life as Paul did. The condition will exist of suffering, of difficulties in this life, as it happened to the Apostle Paul. It's conflict. I want you to just listen carefully as I close that the conflict Paul experienced his whole life as a Christian, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who stood for the truth. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I want you to hear what Paul said he went through. Paul says in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I'm speaking for you. He's talking about other guys who was talking about him. He said, I'm more than the people, the enemies. I'm more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice, meaning three times I suffered shipwreck. Night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys, often. Dangers, perils of water mean dangers. Dangers of water. Dangers of robbers. Dangers from my own countrymen. In perils of heathens. In the cities I went in. In the wilderness I was in, I was in danger in the sea. I was in danger among the false brethren. Paul is saying, in weariness, in the painfulness, and watching often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting, cold, nakedness. Beside those things that I would doubt. That's all the exterior stuff that was going on with him. There was something else happening to Paul that which comes on me daily. The care of all the churches. You see, Paul had a love for the Church of Christ. In every congregation, what he means here. Paul was saying, I have a conflict. He's telling those Philippian Christians, you saw me go through all this. And now here, to be in me. Paul understood that everything he was going through, it was for his salvation. Do you? I encourage you from this lesson to say, you know what, I'm going to stay positive about this. And hopefully these lessons will keep you in a positive state of mind. I don't have to complain about what I'm going through. I can accept it. Because in the end, I'm going to be all right. Thank God for your relationship with him. Take it personal. God got your record. He knows your life. Whether you're in bondage or in your life, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Why is that? Everything that we're doing in the church, all the works, all the ministries, all the preaching, the giving, the serving, the confessing our faults, praying for each other, it simply comes down to one thing. Everything is about salvation. So your pain may be great. Your loss may be great. Yes, you may be struggling. Yes, you may be crying. Yes, you may be even going through things you can't understand. But you can say, as long as I stay with God, as long as I hold to his unchanging hand, everything will be all right. Because it's the end. The game is after I die. This thing has come upon me. That was this morning. And what came upon me, through the difficulty, the trial, the tribulation I'm going through now, whatever it is, that I came at you with, and it stuck from this morning to this afternoon. There was these things Paul talked about this morning that come up on him, and some things have come up on you. But the second message in the chapter 1 was, I know why. Why, Paul? It's for my salvation. I hope you can enjoy that. I hope you can be encouraged this evening to know that Jesus suffered more than you did. So why did he suffer? He suffered for your salvation. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the present condition. Here's how you live. But you're looking for this blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Why? It was all for our salvation. That's why Jesus said, when he looked down at the enemies from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He went to the cross for our salvation, for our commitment and love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Are you on the call this afternoon, and you're going through some difficult times, or you're at a point in your life, you want to turn your life to the Lord? Well, you only turn if you see a need for salvation. And if you see a need for salvation, then you can see the love that God had, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. You can see his son being whipped with the whip, wore the crown of thorns, hung on the tree, a cross between the two thieves, and know why he was in pain, why he cried out to his father, why he stayed on that cross 6 long hours. It was all for your salvation. He was the savior of the world. What was he saving? Our soul. Yeah, that's what he was. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. By the things which he suffered, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. There it is. All do that obey in Hebrews 5:8. It's eternal salvation. What are you going through this evening? Where are you at in your spiritual life? This thing has turned to your salvation. May God bless you. If you're on the call this evening, first thing you have to do is hear the gospel story that I just talked about. Believe it with all of your heart, Hebrews 11:6. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me and be baptized in water as commanded by our Lord. Mark 16:15-16. And then the Lord would add you on the church you can read about in the Bible. That is the church of Christ. Indeed, you have started on your journey of saving your soul, and your salvation can be realized one day when you your head pressed down a pillow or you meet Jesus in the sky. You can know you're saved. If you're a member of the church, I want these lessons from Philippians to be encouraging, to turn your mind from a complaint to someone who accepts God's will and have that inner joy and inner peace to know God is with you. He's going to never leave you, nor will he forsake you. If you have a need to respond, hit 5-star on your phone as we sing together the song of encouragement. If you want to be baptized, hit 5-star. You need prayer, hit 5-star. You want to come home, repenting of your sins, confessing your fault, do that. Or you just need us to pray with you. We want you to know everything we do is for your salvation. At this time, our song leader will come up.